Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to another episode of Voices for Excellence. I am your host, Dr. Michael Connor, CEO and founder of the Agile Evolutionary Group, and of course, the proud host of VFE. And again, welcome back to our Black Excellence series, celebrating Black educators across the world. And today's guest is near and dear to my heart. And let me give you kind of like the genesis of how Dr. Gardner and I met. We met at an education conference and we just wound up just talking about education, talking about just a litany of things of how we can be able to move this model to the future. And then as we started just to continue to talk and unpack these elements, I really thought Dr. Gardner was a superintendent. But when I found out, you know, she was working with T-Mobile, I was like, wow, she has such depth and breadth in context of knowledge around systems and structures, pedagogy, practitioner instructional practices and leadership practices in the context of instruction and transforming systems for the future. But our conversation just continued year after year. And then now Dr. Gardner has, I would like to say this. Thank you, Dr. Gardner, for realizing or elevating, I like to say, exploiting and exploring the Agile Diagnostic and AI platform where Dr. G elevated this, my platform where our T-Mobile partnership with Agile Evolutionary Group, she facilitated the mobile device manager that acts as an IoT hub and the devices for it. Yes, everybody, this right here with the Agile platform was a visionary process from Dr. Iris Gardner. So I would like to welcome Dr. Iris Gardner, who is the Senior Manager for Education at T-Mobile National. And of course, an entrepreneur, a visionary, a practitioner, and a leader who is making amazing strides in the field. So, Dr. Gardner, as you can see, I went on and on about you. The introduction is probably longer than the episode itself, but welcome to VFE and being a part of the third annual Black Excellence Series.
Well, you know what, Dr. Connor, this is such an honor. I have seen the evolution of your work. And to say that I am a proud sister to watch on the sidelines is underestimating. I saw brilliance from the very first time that we interacted, and I am excited about what the world will experience through your brilliance. Thank you for having me. And this is just the beginning of some great things happening between us. We've been ideating for years, and I'm confident that people near and far will understand the connection and the passion behind the work that you do and how it is that I stood behind you to just look over your shoulder and appreciate the work that you're doing.
Thank you, Dr. Gardner. You know you're my big sister, right? And I'll tell you, and to my audience, I'll never forget. I was like, Dr. G, how can we partner? What would that partnership look like? She gave me a one-liner. Get tech. I will never forget that with Dr. Gardner. Dr. Gardner said, Mike, you got to build some type of tech. And I was like, all right. And then 6 months later, Dr. Gardner calls me. Do you have that tech? Have you started ideating on the tech? And then that's where 2 years ago to now, look at what we created, Dr. Gardner. And thank you for being a big sister. Thank you for being a mentor. Thank you for guiding me through this entrepreneurial process because it was new to me and you understood and you understand both verticals, the educational leadership vertical, the systems vertical of our traditional education model, but also this entrepreneur mindset that underscores technology, AI, the advancements, acceleration of innovation. And you have that interface knowledge and for you to help to guide me because I have that same interface context is just absolutely amazing. But Dr. G, I want to highlight you in your work so people can see the level, see what I experience on a daily basis, Dr. Gardner.
Such
an honor, but let's get to it, Dr. G. So Dr. G, the first question is a fun question and then we'll continue to unpack your expertise. But You are an entrepreneur, an edupreneur. You are an international influence, keynote speaker, Forbes contributor, senior manager for education at T-Mobile. What don't you do, Dr. Gardner? But for my viewers on VFB who do not know your work or personally know Dr. Iris Gardner, what song describes your leadership signature and work in the ecosystem?
What song? I love this. And I can lean right into Amazing Grace. And the reason why I say that is because it's grace and provisions that others have made that have allowed me to sit in the seats and sit at the tables and engage with the people that I engage with. It's nothing other than the beautiful, resounding impact of grace.
Absolutely. Dr. Gardner, I'll tell you, that song, I'll never forget. My grandmother used to always sing that to me as a kid. And I can, as you said, Amazing Grace, I can actually just hear her voice right now, singing that song. I tell you, you ain't gonna have me crying on VFB. You ain't gonna do that, Dr. Gardner. But yes, vision, right? The people that created this pathology, for us to, allow us to have this facilitated process of impact and influence in the ecosystem, and leading with grace. Dr. Gardner, you have been leading with grace in the ecosystem, and influencer for a very, very long time. And as I said, thank you for being or elevating, and being the catalyst for the MDM and the devices for securing that landmark partnership with AEG, the agile platform in T-Mobile. So, I really want to get into your, I call you a tech czar, right? Because, a
I
lot of
like
the
that.
innovation. Oh, no, Dr. G, I tell you, every time I meet with you, Dr. G, I have my notebook out because of the fact that you have a very divergent and innovative, transformative mindset, right? And again, what I want to do, right, is to be able to expand that because I can talk to you forever about AI, about technologies, about what you're doing at T-Mobile to really exploit and innovate the model. But as a senior manager for education at T-Mobile, what is your core work around the nation so my viewers have context of what you do? And how are you elevating innovative partnerships like you created with Agile Evolutionary Group, with district leaders, as well as leaders across the country to impact education?
Excellent question. Very simply stated, my challenge or the great fortune that I have is to think big, lead with integrity, and transform teaching and learning using technology. I get to ideate and work to understand with great depth the challenges that students are encountering and the gaps that educators may have, and then find technological solutions that will change the trance that will transform, not just simply change, but will turn it on its head and allow them to soar in ways that they've never experienced.
And Dr. G, I want this is a sub question, right? I really love how you said that your goal is to transform teaching and learning with technology, right? Targeting those technological solutions. Dr. Gardner, you and I have had many conversations about this. Capital, right? The building or expanding capabilities within the various tiers of education to start targeting various technological solutions or intelligence systems that will dynamically impact teaching and learning. How would you, Dr. Gardner, go about building capacity around these technology solutions to create synergy with teaching and learning?
Again, you are a mastermind at coming up with amazing, thought-provoking questions. So I appreciate that in you. One of the things that I say, everything starts with a richer understanding of the core or the nucleus of the challenge. So once we start to peel back and really understand whether it's, you know, addressing the systematic biases and discrimination, whether it is, you know, building awareness and advocacy campaigns, then we can, you know, solicit community investment and empowerment, right? Like bringing all those elements together and then leaning on the best engineers and technologists to understand what technologies will work to inform change, collect data. And then there is this iterative process in every single thing that we do that will allow us to connect data, collect data, then make informed decisions, and then implement with this thoughtfulness, intentionality, and around accessibility. Right? So bringing those elements together will then allow all of the stakeholders to have the best seat at the table and be a part intentionally of every aspect across the scope of any change, whether it is community change or a switch in ideology, or whether it is methodology in the classroom or ideology, but really working to start out with a rich understanding of the challenge.
Absolutely. And Dr. G, having that context of understanding that challenge, I really love how you unpacked your answer, because it really describes moving away from the traditional design of education outward, inward, to this inward, outward process that has a variety of different or diversity of experts that works in the strategic conglomerate, so that now the work becomes dynamic as opposed to standardized. I really love how you describe that deep understanding of the nucleus within the model. Engineers, we haven't heard engineers in the education vernacular. Technologists involved in the education vernacular. So now we have this great conglomerate that dynamically impacts teaching and learning.
And I could add another thing, data scientists.
Absolutely. Data scientist, so please elaborate.
If we're looking for sustainable change, we've got to understand what the data says.
Absolutely.
And a data scientist can take big data and, you know, synthesize it or format structures that will allow us to create these expressions to get us exactly where we need to go.
Dr. G, you're getting me excited, because as you're unpacking your intellectual property through your answer, I keep referencing back to my disruptive effect model, right? The anchors of innovation science. You're underscoring the importance of data, and pillar two within my anchors of innovation science is big data and analytics, because you and I know, Dr. G, big data and analytics is an anomaly in our model. We're so used to, I like to say, small data and isolated analyses that doesn't really go to the depth and to the core of that. With Dr. G, this question could be 1 hour in itself, but for time purposes, let me move on. And to my audience, at the end of our episode, as always, we will, Dr. G will give you her information to be able to follow up on any of the answers that she's provided. But Dr. G, we're now officially in year 6. Of the AC stage of education after COVID. And I consider this an important phase, because you kind of alluded to it, but now I think we're going to go deep into this, because the interfacing of AI and technology has to be concretized within the broader organizational strategy of superintendents, learning organizations, as well as schools with principals and classroom practitioners. But for level setting purposes, for my VFE audience, I want you to define innovation in the context of creativity that underpins AI and technology to accelerate our model, right? Despite the environmental and structural factors that stymie or plague education rudiments from the BC stage. I want you to define innovation and how it's going to accelerate our current model in the AC stage.
Of course. So one of the things that how I look at it, it's an opportunity for us to explore, learn, and grow without limitations. And this really scaffold intentional way, because we can try and fail and try and grow and try and connect, it allows us to seamlessly get from point A to point B without barriers. Innovation does that. It really removes the noise around the systematic approach that we've tried so very long that hasn't gotten us very far. Innovation allows us to consider anything whatsoever and allow it to be folded into our ideology in such a way that it gives us leverage and creates new ways for us to complete any task.
Absolutely. And Dr. G, I love your definition of innovation because, again, I keep contextualizing and conceptualizing the work that we're embarking upon right now, this landmark platform of the Agile Diagnostic and AI platform, where the prescriptive recommended actions rooted from the analytics, as you're talking about, facilitates this level of innovation without barriers, as you define that, because structurally we know the old industrial model is archaic and fossilized, right? And it has those barriers by design. But I really love how you articulated and unpacked that innovation removes the noise within the organization, and you keep on defining in this implicit manner that we have to create these inclusive learning ecosystems that are adaptive, that are co-designed, where the ideology and the methodology is this continuous underpinning of innovation. Dr. G, thank you. And I can see why you won this award, because most recently, Dr. G, you won this international award where you were considered one of the top visionarians in the field of education. When I heard you got this award, and so you got the award, I was like, okay, I can see why now, man. I experience it on the daily basis. But the one-liner, as you said, get tech. And that vision of getting tech led to the enhancement of the Agile platform. I can see why you won this top international award for being one of the best visionaries in education. But in your perspective, Dr. G, what are some of these visionary elements that should be prioritized to prepare Generation Alpha? And just last month, we welcomed Generation Beta on January 1st. So how do we prioritize, right, these visionary elements for the future of a new society, work demand, and education for the 22nd century?
I've pondered this quite a bit. And the first thing that I will say, and it kind of takes me back to that notion of grace, it is really considering all stakeholders in our thought, in our decision making. So having a community investment empowerment type of arrangement where all of the stakeholders are invited to be a part of the conversation. Until we give an earnest, authentic invitation to really work to understand and to lead into what their desires are, we're going to miss the mark.
Absolutely.
I know how I was educated. It was not that I was a partner, it was I was told what they thought should happen. I wasn't invited to the table. And I still find that in some situations, that's what we're doing. We're controlling individuals instead of empowering individuals. And there is a great difference. And so, one of the things that I think is advantageous, because we're at a crossroads, is that we build a mutual understanding of their thoughts, ideas, and goals. And then that will allow us to address systematic biases and discrimination until we really work to understand who the learners are. We can't develop sensitivities and cultural awareness. And
Dr.
that's a very
G.
essence of grace, right?
Dr.
Is really
G.
living and
Absolutely.
establishing value around people. We would work so quickly to create this expression of what they should do and a treatment plan before working to understand who they are and to establish value.
I love that answer, Dr. G, because two sub-themes within your answer that really resonates with me, where we have historically disenfranchised the voices of our most important customers in education. Two sub-themes that resonated with me, you said, we were told, or you were told, instead of being invited. Our processes are controlling in lieu of true empowerment. Mutual understanding with the thoughts, ideas, and goals of our learners, Generation Alpha, Generation Beta. Dr. G, this is a sub question. Can you explain? Expand on that in a simplistic form so that my viewers can be able to now see what this or realize what this is in application. Because to my audience, mutual understanding of Generation Alpha's and Generation Beta's thoughts, ideas, and goals, and how we invite our learners to be a part of the process, i.e., empowering in lieu of controlling, invited instead of being told. Dr. G, can you elaborate on that? What that looks like in practice from a visionary standpoint?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think there's a this think tank type of model where we're having these conversations where we're, historically we have conferences and they're just for educators, they're just for leaders. Well, why not the students? We select textbooks and curricula. Well, the student is never at the table. They're the ones that are going to consume the information.
You're right.
We create rubrics to select the curriculum, and we never once think that perhaps we should invite teachers and community leaders and employers to weigh in. Again, we are prescribing without really understanding the true essence of who we're serving.
Absolutely.
So every single process that we have, I submit to leaders that there is additional seats at the table for students, for
Absolutely.
employers, and for I think we have the framework of a system that has, there's some good things about our system, and it's fared in some ways really well. But I think this is the opportunity for us to think more deeply.
Absolutely.
And, I want to lean into the fact that there is some research that says, more than 75% of the roles that we're preparing the students for, we have no idea what they are. So if that is the case, and that's a true statement, then the only way to prepare the students for these roles is to understand what their desires are, because they are the individuals that will be curating the roles.
Absolutely. And Dr. G, I really appreciate your answer because as you know, I just launched the campaign, or my corporation campaign is called The Future of Education is Now. And we just unveiled the 22nd Century Systems Learner Framework, where the Systems Learner Framework is disaggregated into two domains, systems and learner attributes, right? And they work in this intersectional manner to realize this learning ecosystem. But you defined what a true inclusive learning ecosystem of the 22nd century is. Locus control is shifted from us, where, as you stated in your examples, we design curriculum, set the assessment modes, as well as the model, prescribe different recommendations without truly the voice of the customers, right? Which is Generation Alpha and Generation Beta. I really loved how you got to and unpack the nucleus of what a 22nd century inclusive learning ecosystem is, from a structural innovation as well as a design mechanism. But Dr. G, you alluded to this in all of your answers, previous answers before, but we can't ignore the inequities. You just highlighted one where agency and voice of our students, Generation Alpha, Generation Z, but now Generation Beta, their voice has been obsolete, agency of our students, right? But there are inequities now, Dr. G, that I want to be able to unpack that I don't think many people are talking about. The inequities that that AI brings, that technology brings within the education ecosystem. An example I like to highlight is the biases that exist within the raw data sets. When we start training and when we start testing and training these specific models, large language models within our generative platforms, we see, we know, we understand these biases within these raw data sets. Technology and software development, Dr. G, as you know, must be integrated into the instructional frame that is rooted with cultural responsive research or even nodes. To have these disruptive large language models or these disruptive models or raw data sets where now the end user experience is not exhibiting or feeling these inequities or biases. But for edtech companies and organizations, Dr. G, because you are internationally involved in this, right? What advice would you give these companies, startups, founders, solutions, software designers, engineers? What advice would you give them to appropriately promulgate technology, AI, and software solutions to close access gaps, opportunity gaps, and eliminate biases within their products?
I am so glad that you asked me this question. One of the things that I seek to do first myself is have a rich understanding of the needs of the students, the population in which we're serving, and then provide insights around the solutions that directly align with what they're trying to accomplish and where the students are. And if you noticed in that statement, I didn't identify cost or access to the tools, because my decision is not based on cost or access to those particular resources. It's based on the needs.
Absolutely.
So one of the things that I would submit for them to consider is to look for ways to not cut corners, to invest in students and get the right technologies. We cut corners so many times, and or we continue to cut corners so many. There are instances where somehow people thought it was a good idea in many cases, where they would take used tech, refurbish it, which that could be done, right? And then give it to students. But then if you give them the best, give them subpar technologies, but expect excellent results, there's no parity in that ideology. And there is this nuance around minoring in the major and majoring in the minor as well. We need to focus on the students, get the students what they need, and remove the barriers and invest. In order for us to move forward, we're going to have to invest in the right technologies. We need to invest in trainings around AI. And we have to prioritize that, because now we're training AI And if our voices are not folded into AI, then we'll have another challenge to overcome.
Absolutely.
So really it is allowing the students to be our first and most precious priority, removing the barriers, and leveraging the best technologies that are out there. And right now, AI is instrumental in changing the way we do things and increasing efficiencies.
Absolutely. And Dr. G, thank you for your response because you're right. You didn't jump into cost, right? You didn't jump into the actual hardware software. You started off by saying we need to prioritize the students' needs. And I think that, and being a part of the EdTech world now, Dr. G, I think that there is a prior, we prioritize around product development, software development, engineering the data to ensure that we have high quality front end experiences with the technology, underscoring to making sure that the models that we're testing and training are at this level of efficiency with the solutions. But we don't have enough conversations, Dr. G, about prioritizing the solution in alignment with the needs of our students. And I think that Dr. G, in this ed tech world before product design and development takes place, really unpacking and understanding and synthesizing the attributes of the students that we're serving, i.e. the needs, and then seamlessly moving into the design phase, the training phase, and then also the prototyping of the ideologies based off of the design of the product. Thank you. Investment. That's what I got. Invest. Invest in
Yes.
technology.
I've had
Invest students.
conversations with leaders, and some of the sound bites I get is, that's not in budget, right? That's not what we can afford, right? We have to adjust things. Certainly everything is within reason, right? I'm not suggesting that you blow your budget and you're not intentional and there are fiduciary alignments that everyone has to follow. But what I am suggesting is that we can't afford not to give them the best that we have to offer.
Absolutely.
It will
Absolutely.
cost us. There's a cost to not doing the best by the students.
Absolutely. And Dr. G, I always say this is that if we provide high quality experiences, learning experiences, we'll eliminate our budget or resources around interventions that can be repurposed into purposeful and meaningful investments, as you're talking about. But Dr. G, last question. Last question. Now, Dr. Gardner, I don't know if I can limit you to three words, okay? You exemplify Black excellence, but take it as it is with this question. What three words? I'm gonna try to limit you, but please go on. But what three words do you want the VFE audience to leave with regards to the new vision or being a visionary around trends to impact the AC stage of education after COVID-19?
I start out my year identifying words that I want to embody, and I have identified three. One is focused, another is fruitful, and another is faithful.
Are you not going to elaborate?
And I'm going to give it to you. I got it. And I think those words will. They really align really well with this work, right? Faithful to do what I said I was going to do. Faithful to sit at the table and be authentic around what the students need and to advocate for them harder than I've ever done before. Focused, to be focused on what I was uniquely positioned to do, and that is to change the way we think and maneuver in teaching and learning, right? And then focused is to align myself to not just meet my goals around being that change agent, but to supersede my goals.
Absolutely. And to do it with amazing grace, to
Great.
be focused, fruitful, and of course, course, faithful to the work. Dr. Gardner, thank you for being on Voices for Excellence during our Black Excellence series. If any of my audience, Dr. G, wants to be able to reach out to you to continue to expand on any of the responses and answers that you provided, how would they be able to get in touch with you?
They can reach out on LinkedIn, Iris, Dr. Iris Garner, on Instagram, and definitely feel free to give me send me an email at iris.garner1@ttmobile.com.
Dr. Gardner, again, thank you for coming on VFV. Thank you for igniting the T-Mobile Agile Evolutionary Group partnership through the Agile Diagnostic and AI platform. Thank you for being a mentor and guide on the side. I appreciate everything you're doing for the education ecosphere.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Dr. Gardner. And
All
on
right.
that note, everybody, onward and upward. Have a great day.